You'll see that this is, although I'm now at the CDC, this is work that was done at Oregon Health and Science University, and this has not passed any of the CDC clearance activities. I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors on this, Dr. Rie Suzuki, who's now at Michigan, and Dr. Willie Horner-Johnson, who is here and is still at Oregon. This represents some work that we've been doing around measurement issues of health and health status of people with disabilities. And this is the required disclosure statement, no relationships that affect my presentation today. I want to just talk very quickly to provide some context about the importance of self-reported health. And I'm using that word to refer to a range of ways of collecting information about people's health that comes from their own report. Self-reported health is an important predictor of health service utilization and mortality. There's a long, strong literature on that. One can argue, and it would be my position, that health-related quality of life is important in its own right as a health outcome. We see much more increased use of self-reported health in a range of measures in health outcomes research. However, its meaning and its usefulness with people with disabilities is not well understood, and part of this paper is intended to explore some of those issues. Let me describe very quickly at least three categories for thinking about self-reported health. The one that we see on so many measures is a single question that asks overall or in general, would you say your health is excellent, very good, good, fair, or poor? That is almost ubiquitous in the literature on health for general populations, and that single item is now increasingly being referred to as self-rated health. Then there's a whole group of measures, and these have exploded in the literature in the past two decades, that refer to health status or health-related quality of life. I, like many other authors, will refer to those as the same kind of category or group of measures. Some people will argue they should be separated. But these are measures like the most popular by far in the U.S. is the BRFS, no, not the BRFS, the SF36, and a measure that has multiple items to it. And then the third category of self-reported health status measures are symptom or secondary conditions checklists, and there's some people in the audience who have been at the forefront of developing some of those checklists of secondary conditions. So keep those three things in mind, because we're going to come back to them. There have been two major concerns raised about, at least two, about self-reported health status. One is its subjectivity. That applies for all populations and groups in which the measure of health is self-report. Rapkin and Schwartz have taken that on in the literature to some extent, and they present a model where they talk about increasing levels of subjectivity in self-report, that, and they make distinctions among measures that measure performance around something, measures that ask you to report on your perception of something, and those that ask you to report on evaluation of something. In this case, it would be your health status. And from their perspective, it's really the evaluation part, such like the self-rated health, where subjectivity becomes the biggest concern. The second issue that is very troublesome to disability researchers is that many of the measures confound function with health. And that is very clearly present in the SF36. A number of people have written about this. A number of people have proposed ways to address it, like enabling the SF36 as one example. The purpose of the present study was that because there are these multiple ways of measuring self-reported health, we wanted to look at the relationship among those measures. And we wanted to do that with people with functional limitations. And we set up our model such that we were predicting to that most subjective of measures, self-rated health. And we did that using an extant data set that we had on persons with spinal cord injury. We thought this was a good data set to use because these are individuals who do experience significant functional limitation, very few arguments about that, and that unlike some other groups where an ongoing chronic health condition may have led to the disability, for most people with spinal cord injury, we are fairly safe in assuming that their health was probably fairly equivalent to the general population prior to injury. So we went in with three study hypotheses. The first was that that single measure, self-rated health of people with SCI, will be lower than the general population, but will be higher than a cross-disability population. And that's recognizing the great heterogeneity among people with disability, self-reported disability. The second, and this is where we really wanted to get to, was to develop and then confirm a conceptual model where secondary conditions, the most objective of the measures, would predict to self-reported health as measured by a health-related quality of life or health status measure, in this case components of the SF-36, and that those would then predict to self-rated health, that single item, both directly and indirectly. And we'd, looking at the literature, it suggested that we would need that kind of a model to predict. And then finally, we thought that this data set might actually demonstrate very empirically some of the shortcomings of the SF-36 as it relates to measuring health status in a group of people who already have functional limitations. So those were our three hypotheses. The data set that we had was a pretty extensive data on 270 adults with spinal cord injury that had been recruited from New York, Washington, and Oregon, and we recruited through durable medical equipment vendors, and it was a new recruitment methodology, so we have a different paper out on that, and the sample is highly comparable to many other SCI samples. Average age was about 45 years, about 69% were males. Level of SCI, at least 56% were at the cervical level. The average time of living with their spinal cord injury was almost 17 years, and race ethnicity was roughly comparable to the U.S. population, maybe a little low Hispanic. The measures that we had for this part of the analyses, we used that single question, self-rated health. We used four domains from the SF-36. We looked at the 10 items that measure physical function, four that measure role physical, four that measure vitality, and five that look at mental health. The other domains were fairly overlapping with some of our secondary conditions, and so we were looking at secondary conditions checklist that we had pulled items from a number of other checklists, validated with an SCI group, and then did some analyses to identify those 13 secondary conditions that held together reasonably well. And I think our alpha on that was about 0.79, if I remember right. So the analyses that were conducted, we just compared the self-rated health of this sample with the BRFSS sample, I think from 2002 or 2004. We conducted simple correlations among our different measures, and then we got to the path analysis modeling and used M+ MLR, and in our analyses we were controlling for age, education, gender, and race ethnicity. So here's what we found. The first hypothesis was confirmed, and what I'm showing now is a graph that shows the self-rated health of people of our sample, spinal cord injury, and it shows the percent of people who were responding poor, fair, good, very good, and excellent. And you can see that the spinal cord injury sample actually has a fairly normal distribution. People with disabilities from this cross-disability sample actually tend to have a slightly skewed distribution, with more people rating at the poor fair end, fewer at the very good and excellent, and for the BRFSS sample without disabilities, the population or the sample is skewed in the other direction, more people reporting very good and excellent health and fewer at the poor fair level. So that kind of confirmed that we had a sense of what this sample looks like on this particular question. Then we really got into, this is just a narrative description of the previous slide. Then we got into the second hypothesis, which was this model, and I'll show you a graphic of it in the next slide. And directionality of the model was generally confirmed, and the indirect and direct relationships were generally confirmed. So what I'm showing now is a graphic that has three columns. The first one is physical secondary conditions, and we see that that does in fact predict to physical functioning, role functioning, vitality, and mental health. And then of those, They then predict to self-rated health. Now, in this model, physical secondary conditions predicts directly to self-rated health as well in ways that is not picked up by these domains of the SF-36. I'll talk about the next issue. This is the narrative. Next issue really relates to hypothesis three, and that is the concern that's raised around the SF-36, in particular, its domain of physical functioning. And again, I'm going to show this. This is the same graphic I showed before, but what I want you to pay attention to now is the arrows that move from the middle column over to self-rated health. The only domains that really predicted to self-rated health are role functioning and mental health. And we speculated, well, maybe it's because there's such intercorrelation among those domains. So we dropped out vitality, and then, yes, in fact, mental health does predict to self-rated health, but we could drop out role functioning, and physical functioning still does not predict to self-rated health. Now, this is a measure, that's a domain that asks all those questions about can you walk a mile, can you walk a block, can you climb up a flight of stairs, can you walk up multiple. And when we went back and looked at just the simple correlations of physical functioning and self-rated health, it was at an astoundingly low 5% correlation. So again, a nice documentation that that domain in this measure of self-reported health is really not useful in this population and probably really muddies our interpretation of our understanding of health. Text description. So in summary, we think we really documented three things: that people with SCI rate their health as poorer than the general population, but better than the BRFSS cross-disability group. That's only about 36% of the variance in self-rated health in persons with spinal cord injury relates to secondary conditions and health status measures. So there's a lot of variability that is not being picked up. And finally, that the SF-36 physical function does not relate to self-reported health in any significant way. Our conclusions are that different measures of self-reported health are related but are not synonymous, and we see some literatures in grouping that really put all of them together. And a second conclusion is that for persons with spinal cord injury at least, function does not predict self-rated health. And finally, we really do believe there's need for measures of better health-related quality of life, and that they need to be function neutral, if not to penalize this population or this group of respondents in working to understand health. My contact information, thank you.